It's just so good to be back. I hope you're all doing well, and I hope I can find my notes. We're kind of sparse, but you know, it's really good. I saw some of you on Zoom, but it's better to see you in person. I'm sure we all missed each other, and we're sure glad to be here today, as I hope we are every Sabbath. You know, each Sabbath, God calls us to be before Him. Today we get to be as Mr. Berkholm. We're back home today. It feels really good. This is normal. Being on Zoom and on the web all the time, it makes us appreciate you out there who aren't able to be here. And we do miss you, and hopefully someday you'll be back with us, because we got an idea of how much it means for us to care for you and to love you, to talk to you, and send letters and everything else. So I hope we got a little bit of understanding growing in what we need to do for we're to take care of one another, that's for sure. We do take today, I'm sure, different than some Sabbaths. We've always been happy to be in church, always happy to, come and worship God, sing praises before Him. And by the way, I love your selection of songs today. Excellent. But you know, getting together today is a real rejoicing time, because we're going to be able to do what we've been doing so far. We've been worshiping our God and singing songs to Him together. And God loves for us to love Him and sing praise to Him, because He is the Father of each and every one of us. And He gave His Son so that you and I could have this opportunity. I'm sure looking forward to the fellowship and the food afterwards. Of course, my physique tells me I like food, but you know, I really like you all too. So it's nice to have the family together again, and I hope we have a great time together. As God's children, we have every reason to be thankful. When we see what's going on around us in these last 3 months, where someone has told us, you are not allowed to do this. You cannot go out of your house. You cannot go to the store. Or you will be fined. And yet, just the last couple weeks, we've had rioters, and they haven't done a thing. And they're not staying 6 foot apart, you know. And even in Seattle this morning, I saw where they've taken over 5 blocks of the city. Who would ever have thought the United States, anyone would ever allow this? It's mind-boggling. And yet, you know, we don't have to fear, because we know that God's in charge, and we know what's coming. And all we're seeing is little bits here and there coming together more and more so. And I remember hearing Mr. Armstrong say, and I thought he was crazier than a loony. Sorry to say that. I was listening to him before I came into church. And he said, one of these days, he said, the United States is going to fall and they'll never fire a shot. Now, this is during the Vietnam War. And I said, that guy's crazier than a loony. There is no way the United States would ever give up the United States without using every bit of ammo, every ounce of energy that they ever had. You see, I wasn't smart enough, and I was about 19 years old. I didn't realize what Mr. Armstrong was talking about. He was so much smarter than me, had more understanding. He wasn't talking about physically fighting. He was talking, we're going to fall as a nation because we're indebted to somebody else. When you're in debt, as we found out with this virus, the other countries held back what? Medicine, mask, whatever they wanted to hold back from us, because we didn't make them anymore. Have you watched the empty shelves in your grocery stores or in any store you've been into? Lowe's? That's because it's all Chinese. all out of state. That's why they're lacking. If it hadn't been for our president we have now, we probably would have had more. We got some manufacturing back. But look at the thing that you look at inside. When you look at that, just realize we have sold ourselves and given away our knowledge, our understanding, and they did it cheaper, and then we allowed them to send it back to us and treat them as a third world country, China. And they got all these breaks because they're a third world country. They haven't been a third world country probably for 20 years. But no one ever changed it. No one ever changed it. They can ship mail from China cheaper than you and I can mail here in the United States by far. So I can see now where Mr. Armstrong totally understood what was coming. Because that's what's going to happen to us someday. And we need to be aware of what's going on. And we need to be thankful. So thankful that God has opened each and every one of our minds. Who are we that God would call? We're the ones He wanted to call. He's the ones that's given. We are the ones that He has given us the opportunity to be a part of His first fruits. And that means a lot to us because we know that whatever we go through, we're learning. Last week I was listening to Peter Eddington. I don't know how many heard the sermon down in home office, but he was talking about the coat of many colors, and he had his coat on and everything and take it off and talk as Joseph would and then go back at what was going on. What was amazing about that, and I started thinking about it, I said, you know, Joseph went through a lot for his first 30 years. He went from being this vain young man who had the world by the tail, when you think about it, because his dad protected him, treated him different than the rest of the brothers and everything. And he went down to being what? In prison. Been falsely accused of things. And this is basically what I talk about, and they showed the different growing of him. But you realize we have to grow too. And we can't grow until we have what? A few trials. Because we have to make decisions. And decisions have to be following God's law and God's way of life. Our God is not the author of confusion. So when we see all this confusion, that's not of God. And you know, when we have confusion in our lives, that's really not of God either, because we need to be studying more. We should be able to make decisions. Turn with me to that, to 1 Corinthians 14:33, about first on confusions. Because you know, we saw confusion back a few years ago, and then we saw real confusion back in 1995 when the church split. Those who were with us didn't understand anymore. It's like they totally lost it. I know I lost a lot of friends. I know you did too. But I thought people that I knew were believing as I did, understood as I did. And guess what? We found out we each are accountable to God for what we do. So, 1 Corinthians 13. Let me get there. 14, I'm sorry. That's my problem. That's in 13. Here we go. I went from 13 to 15. Sorry about that. Turned too many pages. In verse 33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." And if we're doing God's will, we will all have peace. Because, see, we can count on God, because God's ways are perfect, and God wants nothing but the best for you and me. In 1 John 4:7, let's go over there and talk about our God a little bit. Our God is a God of love. And this is for each of us. It hits us right between the eyes. It said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that knoweth, that loveth, is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for our God is love." And down in verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us." And that's certainly what we want. "And his love is perfected in us." And his love for us is wanting us to be in his kingdom, to build the character, to obey his laws. As we thank God every day, we need to go back to looking at our lives sometimes. Take a look and going back and seeing before you were called even how God was working in your lives. The older I get, the more I understand things that I never understood as a young man. I could have been killed twice before I was 18 and a half years old in car wrecks. The one I thought I was going to die. A friend of mine was taking me over to pick up a rear end on a car that I'd taken a rear end out of a little Studebaker, Ron, Lark. And going up this hill, he was going up there and he took a curve. And as we start taking the curve, the shocks are no good on this 55 Ford, and we start doing this. And we're about halfway up the big hill, and all of a sudden I'm seeing treetops. We're off the road on a, because I had a little bit of a curve there. And I remember, all I remember is I grabbed a dash, because I saw tops of trees, and I knew we was going. And I'm saying, I'm dead. Not really, I didn't say it, but I think I was thinking it one way. All of a sudden, though, that car did a 45-degree turn. And I remember going, whew, and bam, next thing I know, we hit a tree across the street, across the road. I woke up laying in dirt, and I couldn't figure out why I was in dirt. Well, I had the window down, and it was summertime, spring, right after graduation, be late May, 1st of June. And had to come to, and my buddy's hanging up outside, down in the car, still holding on the steering wheel. And we had two guys in the back that we picked up, hitchhikers we knew from hometown. And I finally come to and I see my friend Charlie up there hanging on to the steering wheel. I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm not going to let go. I'm going to fall." We didn't have seatbelts back then, you know, so he's just hanging on for life. I had hit the dash in a 55 Ford, and it was real metal. And I put a dent in it, probably about an inch, and hit the glass, but thankfully it didn't go out, which I should have, because I had no seatbelt hitting something that hard. Nobody got hurt. Charlie had some stitches on his head where he had hit the steering wheel. I had some cuts and bruises, nothing serious, but the poor guys that we picked up, they paid the penalty for our problem. Back then, you know, we had glass milk jugs. And in the back of Charlie's Ford, he had a glass jug, and when we hit so hard, the back seat popped out, and then come through this milk jug, and when the car turned over, guess who fell on top of it? The guy in the back seat. He had 66 stitches. And the other guy got a back injury. He was only 18 years old. But the only thing, I remember going to visit both of them, but I remember going to visit the one, and I went to the door, and his sister came there, and all of a sudden I hear this boy just screaming. I'm going, what in the world? She said, oh, don't worry about that. He does every time he goes to the restroom. Because 66 stitches was right in his behind. So every time he went to the, there, it wasn't easy. But anyhow, when I look back, you wonder, why? I asked my friend Charlie, I said, Charlie, when he was going to the hospital, I said, how did you make that car turn? He said, I didn't do anything. I said, Charlie, we made a 45-degree cut. I said, I grabbed a dash. I said, we're going over the cliff on top of some of these trees. He said, I did not do a thing. That's why when I think of what I've said before that Art Clark sang in the feast back in 67 or 68, he said, count your blessings ton by ton and then start counting them one by one. And when you look at some things you've been through, sometimes you say, oh boy, boy, was I lucky. Boy, that, wow, man, that was close. You better thank God for the angel probably that protected you. And when we get older and we start thinking about it, we can realize how much God has done for us that we haven't even thought about. Because we're sort of that way. We just say, well, that was, you know, come close to get hit with the car or something. Say, wow, boy, that was a lucky mover. Well, maybe it was. Maybe it's God protecting you so you didn't have a wreck and get hurt. Or if you had a bad wreck and didn't die. I had that one too. I told you about that before, back in 83. It's after the feast, one of the greatest feasts I ever had. 20 miles from home. But anyhow, we all survived. But the guy that picked us up and we went to the hospital, my wife and my daughter were the ones who really hurt the worst. But the thing about it was, the guy who was a paramedic, he came back in 6 hours later, and we're still sitting there waiting on to see what's wrong with my wife and my daughter. He walked up to me and says, somebody up above must like you. He said, three of you should have certainly been dead, and maybe all six of you. That day changed my life. I got my priorities back where, you know, we're easy to be taken on. I was trying to grow my business, and I was working all kinds of hours, and I wanted to have money. Oh, I still like to have money, don't get me wrong. You know, we have to have it. But the point was, I didn't want to work 12 hours or 14 hours a day to get it anymore. I realized if I'd lost any of those in my family, money could never buy that. So I was thankful that we were still all alive. So when we start counting our blessings sometime, we start realizing, hey, you know, I need to be thankful to God because He is the one who is my protector. That's what He tells us in His Word. Turn with me to Ephesians 5:20. You've read this many times. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Do we sometimes forget to give thanks? I have. Do you sometimes too busy that you can't take time to say thanks even when you get a meal? Maybe not do it out in front of public. That's not a public thing. But if you pick up a sandwich at Wendy's and you're going back and eat it, do you just take a minute and just say, thank you, God? for the food and thank you for the money that I'm able to buy it. I'm just looking at things that I haven't done before so I can, you know. You take a lot of things for granted. We should never take God for granted. Yes, He's there. And yes, He loves us. But if we aren't thankful, He can take those blessings away or let Satan get to us. We need to make sure that as we go on in this time of life that's going on now, that we keep our minds and hearts on God. We need to make sure that we become the lights of the world. That's what God has called you and I to be. And that's continual training at all times. It never stops. The more we read, the more we know. The more we study, the more we understand. Because God will open our minds. And that's exactly what He wants us to do. He wants us to have our first thoughts be of Him. In Matthew 6:33, I won't turn to it right now. You've heard it many times. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Kingdom of God is the end. That's what we're looking for. We are looking to be there when Christ returns. I was just thinking during the, I think Ron was talking how long we've been away from going to church. And you can always make analogies and stuff like that, but think about it. This thing happened just before Passover, and I mean just before Passover, and it lasted till after Pentecost, before he was able to really start getting out at all. Well, what comes next? These trumpets. This is past. The future is the Feast of Trumpets, being with Christ and God. Day of Atonement, growing closer to God. You and I being teachers and examples to those in the Feast of Tabernacles, to the 1,000-year period. We need to be preparing. And we also need to be prepared for those who come up for a short period. Because we're going to be the teachers. And if we're not learning and getting God's message into our heart and mind totally and being thankful for every day that we have, we may not be there. We know many who will not be there or have left. We're hoping they'll come back. And they may, but we need to be teachers now because we need to be able to take the influx that may be coming in here shortly when things get really, really bad. As was brought out by Ron, people are going to be looking for something after a while. You realize living in Seattle, how it would be? I sent my daughter a letter. She lives north of Seattle. I said, I'm thankful you don't live in Seattle anymore. They got 5 blocks that they have taken over. Whoever they are, it doesn't make any difference. And you just wonder, how can anybody say that's okay? The mayor does. And the governor, he acted like he didn't even know what was going on. So, that's not the America that I grew up in. You younger people have grown up in a whole different world than what we who are over 50 or 60 years old. But that would never have been tolerated, you know. But anyhow, it just shows how we're going lawless. They hate God's law. They hate God's way because you tell them, God tells them, they have to keep the Sabbath. They rebel right away. You're not to lie. You're not to cheat. You're not to steal. You're to love me. It becomes lawlessness. Because, you see, righteousness is God's law. That's why he did. He made it. If we follow God's righteousness, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, which is his laws and his ways, we're going to be in his kingdom. He said, and if you do this, then these other things will be added to you. So there's three parts to that scripture. The last part is you're working your way towards God's kingdom, his holy city, Jerusalem. And we'll get to that in a little bit later. But you see, we need to make sure that we are God's children. We need to make sure that we're thankful to our God for calling us out of this world, because we were chosen. In Matthew 20:16 and also in Mark 13:20, he says he chose us. Let's go to Mark 13:20, because it's not given as often as that. Give Matthew quite a bit. But Mark 13:20, if you'll turn there, please. Christ is speaking on this, and he says, except that the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, those who have been chosen, he has shortened the days. For those he has chosen, he has shortened the days. That's for you and me, and all those who believe in God and do God's will. So we have been chosen. We've been chosen to become teachers. We've been chosen to become kings and priests. We are in training now. We're in training now, and we'll always be in training until Christ returns. And when you think about becoming kings and priests, you also know it tells you we're part of God's army here on earth. I won't go to it, but it's in what I'm trying to get to is Luke's favorite verse, Matthew 14:5-14. God is the light that we are following. Christ was the light who came down before. Christ led us how to go, how to not sin. And he also gave us life so that we can be forgiven when we do sin. So when we think about what God has done for us, let's turn to Matthew 5:14. Because that's our job. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that has been set on a hill cannot be hid. God is making it so we will be seen. We're standing out because we're not wrapped up in this world as others are. And like it says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because people know when you're different. People can see it. And of course, Mr. Barker gave a sermon about the fruits of the Spirit. We need to have each one of these fruits and working on them. Because with the fruits of the Spirit, we're becoming more like God. His attitude, his way. And when he's the God of love and we learn how to really love, and love God with all of our heart, then we can learn to love everyone in the situation they are in. Because one thing that God wants from each of us, that He has chosen, is to be a part of His family now, and when the time comes, in a twinkling of an eye, be turned into spirit and be a part of His family for eternity. That's our goal. That's our calling. There's no way we can get around it. But this time, you and I must learn to be lights of this world. And to do that, that means we have to be changing our character. There's nothing according to what the fruits of God's Spirit is. And at the same time, you can go back here and look in Galatians 5, and you can see what the spirits of Satan are, or the fruits of Satan, I should say. So you can go back here to Galatians 5. In verse 22 is God's spirits, but in verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, envying, murders, drunkenness. Just go down through there. Idolatry, witchcraft. If we have any of those traits, and we can only check ourselves, because our calling is between you and God, and my calling is between me and God. And we have to self-examine ourselves so that we will not have any of these fruits in our body, our way of life. Because if we do, we will not be in God's kingdom. We must repent of them and change. The fruits of God's Spirit is joy, love. Fruit of Satan's Spirit, look out, all the things that are happening in these different cities and stuff. Get. Tear down stuff if it isn't what you want. I want what you have or you have, but I want you just to give it to me. I don't have to work for it. Give it to me. I deserve a home. I deserve this and that. When we were growing up in America, America, and it still is the land of opportunity. And the only thing was, if you work hard, you could make something yourself, and you could become a middle-class person. Or if you're fortunate, you might be one of the rich. But that sometimes isn't good, being rich, because then you forget who God is, because money becomes more important. But the point is, you had the opportunity. And I'm always amazed when you see all these thousands of people wanting to get to the United States, how the people who have it all don't realize it. Why do they think all these people want to be in the United States? Because there's opportunity. We got a little taste of what you would call socialism when they told you you can't leave your house. And as you see in a social society, if you go one house, keep going, after a while, they dictate you everything. It's like the governors and them, some of them have gone way too far. But they all of a sudden have this power, and they like it. But it's power they can use on you. They don't have to do it, but you have to do it. So I hope people in the world see what socialism is in the United States when they had that 3 months. You know. And they use scare tactics to get you to do this. And it was a shame. I think their hearts may have been right, but they still use scare tactics to get you to do it. First Peter 2:9 talks about becoming the royal priesthood for God the Father. It's what we were called for. In verse 9 he says, "And you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people." And that's exactly what we look like, as peculiar people, because they have these weird things they do. They go to church on Saturday. They won't work on Saturday. They have this different attitude. "That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And that's exactly what it was. When we understand God's truth, it's like somebody turned a switch on. Not exactly how it is for the younger people, because it's a little different situation than what we come out of. But I know something has to snap, that all of a sudden, hey, that all makes sense. Now I know why mom and dad did this. You know, before it was their religion. Now it's my religion. Now it's mine. And that's what it has to be. It has to be my religion, my God, my Father, and our family. God has put us together as a family. And if it hadn't been for God, I'd say most of us would never have met each other. But it's his will that we are the children of God in the Dayton area. In the Dayton area, we represent about 1.5 or 6 million people in the Dayton area. Now think about that. We have probably 80-some on our books now, less than 90, I believe, probably. Ron, you think? So 90 people in the Dayton area represent 1.5 or 1.6 million people. If you take 90 people into that many, think how many people you could be responsible for. It's a lot of people. We have a job ahead of us, right? We are to be the light to these people in this area. And if we're doing our part, we will be that peculiar people that they don't understand, but they seem to be nice. My neighbor one time told me that. He said, "You do some funny things," but he said, you're all right. You know, I said, "Well, I appreciate that, Ed. Thank you." You know, but he knows I didn't cut the grass on Saturday. He knew that our family went to church every week. And, you know, he knows, they notice, but they don't say it a lot of times. But your neighbors do notice what you do, how you act. They notice how kind we are. They notice if we're patient. They know if we're kind. Do we have the fruits of our spirit showing? Well, that's what we'll be doing. That's how we're the light. If the fruits of God's Spirit is in us, we are the light to the world. And we need to be very thankful that we have that opportunity. Because if we fail, there'll be someone else to take our place. Because you see, we got 1.6 million people in this area, so somebody may finally be, God may open their mind to understand. So we don't want to fail. We want to continue to be that light. You and I must put on the whole armor of God every day. And we'll go to Ephesians 6:11 on that. I got ahead of myself a little bit ago, but Ephesians 6:11. The whole armor of God. Let's go back to verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." The power of God's might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Someday we're going to have to speak boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's what each of us really are. We're an ambassador of God's way of life, in bonds to Him totally. And to do that, we need to keep growing, and we need to keep God first. We need to learn to love God with all of our heart, giving Him thanks and praise every day, showing our love by changing and growing and doing exactly what He wants, because He wants to have His Son greet you and me, each of us, when He returns with His army on a Feast of Trumpets. That's our goal. We got to look forward to being in God's holy city, that beautiful New Jerusalem. Because when we're there, we will be taking not of the tree of good and evil, but the tree of life. The tree of life will be outside, and we'll go there in Revelation 21. 22. I want to start in verse 22. This is right after it tells you how large the New Jerusalem is. And if you read back there, you'll see how big it is, how high it is. But 22 says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." There's no temple in there. God and Jesus Christ are the temple. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Which goes back to Matthew 5:14 and 16. And nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That is who is going to be in God's holy city, Jerusalem. And in chapter 22, "And he shall show me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street, and in the either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded their fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's what you and I have an opportunity to be a part of. The great kingdom of the living God and his son Jesus Christ. Should we be thankful? Yes, we should be very thankful. Thankful for the calling that God has given us. Even thankful sometimes for the trials we have, because we know that it's out of love that we grow and out of trials that we grow. Those who aren't able to be here, they have some sicknesses or reasons why they can't be here, because they would love to be here with us. And they would love to be here to say, hi, how are you? And hopefully in a few weeks shake hands or something, but right now it's just bump elbows and go, I guess. But we need to pray that God will lift our hearts and minds to understand him better. To bow down more and to give thanks more daily. Sit back. Look at things. And start counting our blessings one by one. After you've seen them ton by ton. Because we all have received many, many blessings that we do not understand. Or realize at the time. And you say, boy, that really worked out well. But we know our God can do what? Our God can do anything. Our God can change anything so that we are safe. And if we are close to God, we have all power. Because when we ask, he says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. We just got to make sure that we seek and that we knock. We got to make sure that we are truly thankful for the calling and the love that God has bestowed upon us. The sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. That each of us can be here. And as we go through this world, which it will get worse. It's going to get worse. Sorry to say. And as you see in some of the cities, it's just pure chaos. Can you imagine somebody coming by your home and just destroying it? Just because they want to? Because you have a home and they don't? I would say probably the lockdown for 3 months has probably had a little bit to do with people getting a little bit more rowdy than normal. I don't know where I heard this at, but I heard it. Whenever they used to quarantine, I don't know where I heard this at, but anyhow. Whenever they used to quarantine boats when they come in, when they have a disease, when they come from another country or something, they would quarantine them for 30 days. And after 30 days, they realized that they better let those people out or they're going to have trouble. They have kept us locked up for almost 90 days, 60 days pretty solid, and I believe part of this rebellion that's going on could be because they're finally free and they're upset with what was done to them. Hundreds of thousands lost jobs. Hundreds of thousands are in so far in debt now because they didn't be able to pay their bills. You think about the stress. Isn't it nice to know that no matter what happens, our loving God, if we will be loyal and obedient, has his holy city waiting for each of us to be a part of his family for eternity. We must be strong. We must be vigilant. As the old guy says, you must be dutiful. We must read this book. If I asked you to read the Bible as many hours a day as you're on texting and everything else that has to do with these little technologies that we have, do you think you'd rebel? If I said, you have to do this 3 hours a day, no matter what. And you'd say, who does he have a right to say that? I don't have the right. This is a personal thing between you and God. Personal thing between me and God. But it doesn't mean that we can't encourage each other. It doesn't mean we can't learn. And we may see where we have to change our ways some. Because it's going to get tough out there. Christ is returning. God is coming back. Nobody knows the day or hour, but he says to be watching. We shouldn't be taken by surprise. So as we think about counting our blessings, think about what Art Clark said. Start looking and say, I've got a ton or two of blessings. I need to explore them so I can love God even more. So that I can give thanks even more. And know that I want to work harder than ever through study, prayer, fasting. Because we are continuing to grow. And you know, we are told that our God is a God of love. And he is. Because he's merciful to you and me and the whole world. I hope and pray that each of us will grow. And that each of us will be able to greet each other when Christ returns. What a day that will be. If you look over your shoulder and say, oh, there's a... And there, oh, yeah, yeah. And you'll be rejoicing because Christ is coming back. And if we're there, that means that we've obeyed God. Whether we're raised up out of the ground or whether we're changed in a twinkling of an eye. And God loves you and I, and God wants you and I to be there that day. And he wants us to be there in his holy city, Jerusalem, after his plan is completely finished too. Because once we help and train others and help others to see, you know, we have done our job, but we are to be teachers. And we are to be loving as God is, merciful and have the fruits of the Spirit. So I pray that each of us can rejoice today and every day with the love of God in our hearts and minds as we grow and go towards his kingdom.